Hey, good morning, everybody in the room here. Hello. Hello, good morning. Everybody who's tuning in online, hello, good morning. And we always encourage you, if you're tuning in online or if you're just listening to this after the fact, connect with someone else in conversation about it. That's going to be re-emphasized today as we look at the importance of love in the context of the church and of the life of a disciple. There are certain commands that we cannot follow on our own, alone. We've got to be connecting with other people. So if you're tuning in online, one of the ways you can do that is by getting involved in the chat, become part of the conversation, part of the community. Another thing that you can do to plug in is tomorrow, February 13th, we have two studies starting, or the plans, they call them. Study is kind of an intimidating word, so just their plans on the YouVersion app around the five love languages. The five love languages for her, the five love languages for him. These are particularly directed towards husbands and wives. And if that's not you, if you're a single person, man, that's fine. There are plans that you can find on YouVersion, like being single shouldn't suck. And we'll have other things, other ways to be involved, even if you're not a husband or wife. And today's message isn't specifically geared towards that romantic aspect of love. One of the things that we want to do is recapture a more accurate understanding of what love means, what it is. So whether you think Valentine's Day is cool or lame, one of the good things that it does is it reminds us to talk about love. One of the unhelpful things it does is it gives us this picture of love that is just a shallow, goofy sort of love. So we're going to recapture that today. Before we jump into that, I want to pray with y'all. I want y'all to join me in prayer. Something odd happened a couple of days ago, and I just felt like it's the kind of odd that I feel like should lead me to share with my church. So every day in the morning, I read a portion of the Bible, and I've got other guys who I connect with, and we just text each other with a short response to the reading. I do the short response after I do like a longer response. I have a notebook, and I write down a couple of verses that stood out to me, and then write what does this teach me about God? What does it teach me about people? And what am I willing to do about it? So observation and application, and then prayer. On Friday, I read a psalm, Psalm 140, with the other guys. It was just part of the regular pattern, the plan. It's where we were, and in that psalm, it said, "O Lord, keep me out of the hands of the wicked. Protect me from those who are violent, for they're plotting against me. The proud have set up a trap to catch me. They've stretched out a net. They've placed traps all along the way." And what that caused me to think of was in 2019, Russ Wiegand and I took a trip to Nigeria, and man, we felt spiritual attack. We felt trapped in that situation. And I ended up, after reading that psalm, just writing a full page about that experience. I didn't write, what's God teaching me through this? How am I going to apply? I just reflected. That was about 7:30 in the morning on Friday, and about 10:30 that morning, Kurt Olson, who's the guy that we went to Nigeria with, his wife sent out a prayer request. I had no idea Kurt was back in Nigeria. She said things were going so well in Nigeria, so Kurt is there right now. Things were going so well in Nigeria, but I believe the enemy feels as though he is losing ground, so he's attacking Kurt. Kurt said overnight, it's as if there has been a 180-degree turn and everyone is against him. Please pray for breakthrough, truth, and binding of the enemy in his schemes. Nigeria has a very strong patriarchal system that is not of the Lord, so it makes perfect sense that Satan wants to keep them in bondage because operating as a disciple of Jesus would free them in so many areas. But as they're operating now, there's so much control over people. So I had, and I think I saw that Heidi, you had put up prayer requests, and I had put those up, and I changed my focus a little bit this morning without even warning Heidi, because it just felt like we have an opportunity here to pray for Kurt in this situation. So I'd like to just lead us this morning in praying for Kurt and praying for disciples in Nigeria, if we can do that together right now. God, along with Kurt's support team, the other people who are praying for him, we join together in prayer that he would speak words of freedom, words of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that bondage would break for people who are stuck in a system of hierarchy, a power structure that keeps them from being empowered, from being equipped, and from being expelled into the ministry that you've planned for them. We pray for that freedom. We pray for Kurt to have strength, for you to be his strong tower, his shelter. And I pray, God, that he would come back with testimonies of answers to these prayers so that you'll be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. And so one of the reasons that I'm so excited about the series that we're starting right now, Made for More, is we have observed the kind of structure that the church has where Kurt is right now. What he's battling is the church taking on a top-down power structure. And what we're convinced of at New Day is something needs to change in the way we kind of do church, the way we understand the body of Christ, so that disciples of Jesus are equipped and empowered and expelled. The word that Jesus uses when he tells us to pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out workers is like a launching of workers into the harvest field. So instead of trying to protect a top-down power approach, what I've described in the past that we learned from this book, The Starfish and the Spirit, they would describe that as like a spider structure, where you cut the head off a spider, the spider dies. We want to move into a more of a starfish structure, where the DNA of the disciples of Jesus is that if they are cut off, if they're separated, then the church still continues to grow, and the part that's cut off continues to grow, that everyone has the DNA of the church as Jesus intended it in them, and they can go be the church wherever they are. Are we tracking? All right. We're in this series called Made for More with that in mind, that being the goal. We want you to understand how God has created you as a unique masterpiece, not to fill in a blank on an organizational chart. We'll get into that more next week, the broader vision. Right now, we're capitalizing on the fact that we've got Valentine's Day coming up, and we want to encourage you to learn more about how God has wired you to receive and reflect his love. So let's jump into that aspect of learning more about yourself, not just so you can go, oh, that's interesting. Learning more about yourself so that you can live out God's design for you. There's all kinds of ways to talk about love in Scripture. I mean, it's such a huge topic. We could get into the different Hebrew and Greek words that we translate as love. It could take a long time to look at and consider all the different passages in Scripture about love. In fact, Jesus said that all of the law and the prophets, the whole Old Covenant, the whole Old Testament hinges on, it's all about, it hangs on loving God and loving your neighbor. He's saying the whole thing is about love. There are studies we could do. A lifetime isn't long enough to dive into it. I just want to focus on one particular passage this morning and then get into how do we discover more about how God has wired you to receive and reflect God's love. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 21 through 22, Peter is writing to a bunch of different churches, gathered disciples. So this is for the churches, it's for us. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 22, Peter explains, through Christ, you have come to trust in God. So he's talking to people who have trusted in God. He's talking to disciples of Jesus. You have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. In the first part of this passage, we see Peter outlining our relationship with God. The formal word for this, I said it just a moment ago, is covenant. The old covenant, the Old Testament, was about birthright. Are you a descendant of Abraham? And it was about behavior. Are you following the Ten Commandments and the other ceremonial laws given to the Israelites? Jesus came and he fulfilled the old covenant. He met all the requirements of it and gave us a new covenant. That's not about birthright. It's not about behavior. It's about belief. I'm just going to read again, verse 21. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God. You have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. God loved the world so much that he gave his son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. So we're in this love relationship with God that's characterized by trust and faith and hope and obedience that's linked to Jesus the King. Verse 22, you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. So for God's part in the covenant, he expresses his love. He cleanses us from our sins, invites us into a right relationship with him forever. And then the result of our right relationship with God is that we love each other. And it's not just a surface level love. In Greek, it's a Philadelphia love. They're playing in the Super Bowl today. I didn't even think about that. So Philadelphia is the Greek word that means brotherly love. So that's the word that Peter uses, but he doesn't leave it there. He also uses a word, a fervent agape love. Agape is another Greek word that we translate as love. It's a deep, committed love. So people outside of the church should be able to observe how we interact with each other. Whether we're out in the community doing a service project, or we're just gathering for a Super Bowl party, or when the public comes, when we're able to safely and enthusiastically welcome the public, they should see that brotherly love, that Philadelphia, that deep love, that agape, and experience that when they see us receiving God's love and reflecting that love to each other. That's part of the reason things look different at New Day over the last few years. We realize that you can access the best, smartest teachers online. You can hear their sermons. You can access the your favorite songs done by your favorite artists online. The church needs to be something more than a TED Talk and a concert, because you can get that online. The church has got to do what the church was designed to do, and that is relational. We've got to be good at relationships. And we're just convinced that relationships happen better when you're facing people than they do when you're sitting in rows. They happen better when you have time and space for conversation than they do if you are able to sneak in and just sneak out. So this isn't going to be a church for everyone. If somebody wants to come and sneak in and sneak out, there are other churches where you can do that. This is going to be a church where we capitalize on God's design for the church to be relational. That's what we're commanded to do. And it may not be for that person who just wants to hear a TED Talk and some live music. It will be for that person who recognizes a void in their soul that they cannot pin down, that they have tried everything they can think of to fill. And when they see you interacting with each other, they get a clue and go, there's something there. And if they pursue it, they'll find the God who loves them. There are some different ways that we receive and reflect God's love because we're created uniquely. One Christian counselor, a guy named Gary Chapman, observed a recurring problem in couples that he counseled. And he put his observations and his experiences into words that have helped millions of people connect more deeply with other people and with God over the last few decades. Chapman calls this idea the five love languages. A lot of you are familiar with this concept. If you hear what I'm about to say about the five love languages and you think that it's dumb and worthless and you don't believe it at all, that's fine. This isn't scripture. This is someone's observation about humanity, and he happens to come from a Christian worldview and has been helpful to millions of people. So we all know that communication isn't nearly as effective when we're hearing or speaking a different language. In fact, I'm going to, if we can put a link in the chat, or if you want to make note of this, there's a documentary on YouTube called Ordinary People. Now, there's a bunch of stuff on YouTube called Ordinary People. What you want is the Ordinary People documentary from 2022 that's about disciple-making movements that features some people who have invested in our church, like Roy Moran, who did a training with our leaders, like Ayla Tassi, who has hosted our teams in East Africa. I encourage you to watch this. You have to put the closed captioning on. So Michelle and I started watching it, and then they have people who come on, and they're sharing a testimony, and they're speaking Swahili. Now, I've been learning Swahili on Duolingo for a couple of months, but I still only recognized about four words, and two of them were because they were used in the movie The Lion King. So you want to turn the closed captioning on. We didn't figure that out for a while. We kept waiting for there to be captions. There weren't captions. So we're hearing these testimonies, but we have no idea what they're saying. Now, we could guess. There's about 100% chance, though, that we're going to be wrong. Knowing someone's language, hearing and speaking the same language makes a huge difference. So when Chapman talks about the five love languages, what he's saying is that people express and receive love in some unique ways, that if there was someone who doesn't express and receive love in the same ways, it's like they're speaking different languages and they're not going to hear and understand each other. So let's talk about those five love languages. They are words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Now, if you're taking notes and you didn't catch all that, I'm going to break it down, okay? I'm going to briefly touch on them, and then you can buy Chapman's books. You can read his articles. Definitely do the online assessment if you haven't. It's free. And then keep your results, because what we're going to help you do is have an entire ministry profile that's customized to you. So do the assessment, keep your results. We've got some worksheets to help you do that, that will tell you all the different assessments we're going to do over the next few weeks. We did that so that you can share this with other people as well. I want to tell you this, don't jump ahead. Because there are some things that if you just follow the worksheet like any civilian in the public would do, will cost you money. We have already paid some of those things, so you don't have to. So don't jump ahead. Okay. Keep your results. Let's break these down a little bit. Words of affirmation, okay? That's me. The way I most naturally give and receive love is through words. So a personal note, a specific compliment. It fills my love tank like gasoline fills a car. It gives me life and keeps me moving. And at the same time, if I receive very little feedback or negative feedback, that can leave me feeling disconnected, unloved, unmotivated. Using words is so natural to me that I have to be careful not to expect everyone to articulate themselves with words as freely as I do, like when it's time to pray. I have to remember, I use words all the time, and some people aren't comfortable with that. That's okay. They may not be living in that world of words of affirmation. Another love language is quality time. Someone whose love language is quality time, they want to sit down together without a screen to be a distraction. It might be a conversation over coffee or taking a walk or going fishing or doing some hobby together. The key word for a quality time person is together. Gifts is the third one. You might know someone who has this love language if they're constantly giving you gifts. Because we tend to express love in the same way that we prefer to receive it. So someone who has gifts as a primary love language, is they're not being greedy for more stuff. They know that when someone gets a gift for them, that someone was thinking of them and considering their happiness even when they were apart. And that is received as love. Acts of service. Man, I love acts of service, people, partly because I hate work. Yeah. They may not love work, but when they love a person, they will express that love through getting things done. Expressing love could be as simple as like completing chores around the house, running a quick errand for someone. So when someone says, "Let me help you out with that," I encourage you, accept the help, because their act of service may be how they're wired to make a meaningful connection with you. And then the fifth one is physical touch. This person is someone for whom a hand on their shoulder speaks more than a compliment or a gift or just about anything else. Isolation or negative touch absolutely empties them out. A hug or a handshake or a pat on the back is what it takes to start filling them up. So if we just imagine how this plays out in a married couple, if you can imagine a husband and wife, and the husband, when asked, you know, how often do you say to your wife that you love her? And he says, "Well, I told her that at the altar. So, like, that hasn't changed, so why, it's silly to keep coming back to that. And anyway, I'm doing everything that it takes to keep a roof over our heads and provide for my wife. Isn't that enough?" And the wife, she used to make the the husband's, you know, favorite meals, and now that she's run out of time, and she says, but you know, why would I do that anyway? He never compliments my cooking. They're speaking different love languages. She might think, I tell him how much I love and appreciate him all the time, and it doesn't seem to make a difference. He doesn't seem to care. They're both expressing love. He assumes his acts of service to his wife are going to be received as an expression of his commitment to her and how he feels about her. He's hurt that she doesn't reciprocate with acts of service. And she assumes that her words of affirmation will be received as an expression of how she feels about him, and is hurt that he doesn't reciprocate those words of affirmation. When she realizes how meaningful acts of service are to him, she can start expressing herself in a way that he'll receive. When he realizes how meaningful words of affirmation are for her, he can start speaking love to her, even if it feels unnatural at first or unnecessary to him. He'll see that it fills her love tank. They're going to fill each other's love tanks. They're going to feel more content, more connected, more ready to do the good things that God has planned for them. What about in ministry? I think about the five love languages in the context of backyard missions, and in the context of like when we used to go out with Revive Wisconsin. I've got the bussy men here, and I remember being with you guys. We were praying that God would give us a meaningful connection in Rothschild, and it was winter, and you had wisely packed some shovels. And sure enough, we saw someone shoveling their driveway. It was an older person, and so we said, hey, can we help you out? Acts of service. And then, while helping this person out, we had some good conversation with them, got to know them. We spent some quality time together. And by learning about that person as we got to know them, we had the chance to say, that thing that you mentioned earlier, can we pray with you about that? And then that prayer becomes words of affirmation. And before we pray, we've learned to ask, is it okay if I just put my hand on your shoulder while I pray? Physical touch. And then after that, hey, I've got this bracelet that I want to give you as a, whenever you see this, let this be a reminder that you were prayed for and that we'll continue to pray for you. Gifts. It's genius. I want us to think about that as we consider who are the people who God is calling you to be a missionary to, and what does it look like for you to minister to them. Consider how you're expressing love to people. Whether it's you individually or as you're planning small group projects, think about how are we expressing love in an effective way. And God speaks your love language. We see in the Gospels, the accounts of the life of Jesus, that he shared meals, he washed feet, he healed people, he spoke lovingly, turned water into wine, gave gifts of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it can feel a little more abstract now that he's not like walking with us in the flesh. However, if you think about it for a moment, words of affirmation can be pretty clearly seen in scripture or in the lyrics of song. Quality time happens when we're intentional about prayer and meditation and reflection. Gifts from God can be experienced through answers to prayer and us expressing gratitude, giving thanks for the tangible and intangible things that he provides. And acts of service can be another way that we understand God's answers to prayer as he serves us in our times of need. And we can appreciate his ultimate act of service as often as we remember Jesus going to the cross on our behalf. Physical touch can come in the form of like real physical responses we have to prayer or in times of worship. Sometimes people tell me a testimony of what God is doing and I get like chills. Sometimes we have a physical reaction to God's work in our life, or sometimes we simply feel the presence of God. So consider how your primary love language contributes to how loved and connected you do or do not feel. Whether it's in your household, your workplace, your school, your ministry, your church, your small group. First, discover what your primary love language is and learn more about what that means by doing that free online inventory. And when you know your love language, consider how you can best receive and reflect the love of God. Think about who else should know your love language so that they can understand better how you're giving and receiving love. And think about the love languages of the people around you and how you might communicate love to them in a way that fills them up and that lets them know that they're cared for and connected. Don't stop at thinking about it. Do something. God has wired you to receive and reflect His love. So right now, let's practice that rad pattern of reflection, application, and discussion. Let's take some time to consider in your home or in this room around your table, but a quiet time right now, not in conversation yet, a quiet time to consider, what is God teaching you about Himself through this message? What is He teaching you about yourself, and what are you willing to do about it? Let's take a few minutes to go to God and prayerfully consider that, and then we'll reconnect and discuss it. All right, I hope you got some direction from God about what to do this week. Something that I've found, I shared with you part of my pattern, my little notebook, and part of what I've discovered is that when I have an I will statement that I write down in my notebook that I don't share with other people, even if I put it on a to-do list, it becomes the last thing I do, and sometimes just evaporates. We really need each other. We need to encourage each other, spur each other on in doing the good things that God has planned for us. So that's what we have an opportunity to do right now. What did you learn from God, and what are you willing to do about it? Share that so that you can come back to those same people and they can ask you, how did that go? And that you'll feel just a little more accountability and pressure to live in obedience to God. So I encourage you to do that as we take time to discuss what God is teaching you today. And let's go into that time by praying together. God, thank you for the amazing variety in your creation, how you created us with uniqueness that you call a masterpiece. I pray that this would be a family, brothers and sisters who celebrate that uniqueness and that diversity, that we don't fall into the trap of expecting everyone to think like we think, act like we act, that we would celebrate you by trusting you, by recognizing and acknowledging Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and we are the members of his body. We need each other in order to continue his mission on earth, so that you'll be glorified in Marathon County, that you'll be glorified among the Samburu people in East Africa, that you'll be glorified in Kurt's ministry in Nigeria this week, that you'll be glorified in our own households. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys for plugging in and connecting. I'm so excited about this series. Again, don't get too far ahead. We're going to walk through this together over the course of weeks, and you're going to come out of it feeling equipped and empowered and expelled in all the right ways. We'll see you next week.